50. From Floral Street.
"They've a controller," Netherton said to Rainey, having muted himself before he opened his eyes.
She sat at the far end of the couch, legs drawn up beneath her chin, feet bare.
Lobeer's sigil appeared.
"I underestimated Howell's resources," she said. "Eunice's as well. She seems to have proactively copied circuitry in the drone. She'd likely know more in mine than Verity being able to control the drone in her stub, should that prove necessary. But you're about to have a visitor."
"We are?"
Netherton asked. "Flynn's peripheral, arriving at your flat shortly," Lobeer said.
"Verity and Flynn's peripheral?"
he asked. "Excellent," said Rainey, overhearing.
"Where's it kept?"
Netherton asked, not having thought of this before.
"When Flynn isn't using it."
"A Perry spa in Floral Street," said Lobeer.
"What does it do there?"
"It sleeps," Lobeer said, "receives nutrition, does aerobics and yoga, and is cosmetically maintained." Had she added sex and recreational drugs, it occurred to him, she might have been describing the lifestyles of any number of acquaintances from his bachelor days. "She's entering the muse," Lobeer said, her sigil fading.
"Entering the muse now,"
Netherton repeated for Rainey's benefit. She got up to walk around and behind the couch to the window. Eyes open, Netherton joined her. An approaching figure crossed a patch of lamplit pavement. "Go down and bring her up," said Rainey.
"It's not Flynn," he said.
"Don't make her have to ring." Starting to remove the controller, he thought better of it. The Perry would be on its manufacturer's AI. No one in it to see him, let alone think his headgear ridiculous. As he descended the two flights Rainey insisted were healthier than the lift, he remembered having first seen it, before it had become Flynn's, in the lurid blue dusk of an upper parlor of what Lev archly termed his father's House of Love, a monstrosity of erotic kitsch in Kensington Gore. It had noted him, he recalled, with a benign disinterest, as though he'd attracted the attention, such as it was, of a giant semi-sentient orchid. It had, Lev had explained, no digestive tract, hence neither ate nor defecated, so required 12 hourly infusions of a concentrated nutrient as well as regular hydration. It waited now, he saw, beyond the foyer's steel-mullioned door, with that same expression, brown eyes regarding him from beneath brown hair. Someone, Lobeer perhaps, had told him after he'd first encountered it that it was 10 years old, though appearing to be in its early 30s. It seemed no older now.
"Come in,"
he said, the door opening in response to his invitation.
"This way,"
indicating the lift, which opened at their approach. It wore black trainers with bright white soles, loose gray trousers cinched at the ankles, and a black kimono-cut jacket, and looked, in the confusing way of situations like this, like Flynn. Not that it actually bore any more than a passing resemblance to her, but that he was so accustomed now to experiencing it as her physical avatar.